Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and earned a BS degree in kinesiology from the University of Michigan while playing football for them. For 28 years, he held various senior leadership positions with a number of companies, and from 1997 to 2000, was the athletic director at the University of Michigan. The chairman of Goss LLC, his name, Tom Goss. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with Tom Goss, former athletic director, University of Michigan. Tom, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
Boy, that goes back a while. My mom stayed at home and because she raised seven kids, all which I'm pleased to say went to college. I was the first to receive a scholarship to go to college, however. My father was a barber in Knoxville, Tennessee. He had the largest barber shop in East Tennessee with 10 barbers working for him.
What, Tom, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, you know, my mom was a very kind person, and she instilled that whole theory of treat people the way you would like to be treated. That was consistent. My dad was an extraordinary person that came up at a really interesting time in the South. He was a businessman. Ended up, when you're barber of the largest barber shop in East Tennessee, you're also the banker. You're the real estate person. You're the minister. He even went and got his ministry license. And so he was a jack of all trades, but he was a businessman first and a very good one. And I really learned from him because that's where I got my first job.
You're 12 years old.
That's correct.
And he let you start a business.
That is
at the barbershop.
That is correct. I shine shoes. I had a three-man shine stand and shine shoes and played sports. And I had three kids that worked for me. Two of the kids worked when I worked, but the third one worked when I wasn't there because I played four sports all the way through junior high and high school. The good news is I bought all the polish, but I got 10 cents out of every quarter.
Everybody knows about Brown versus education that changed America, but there was a second case, similar right. time, Goss versus education.
Yes, Goss versus the Board of Education, and it was Brown versus the Board of Education, one that went to the Supreme Court. My sister, Josephine Goss Sims, she went to the high school, and I went to the junior high school to integrate the schools. And basically, we both went through that. And neither school would let us in at the time. And we used to walk by both schools. And my father was selected to be the one because he was an independent businessman, couldn't lose his job. And little did we know that it would have the impact. It's in your law books today. My middle daughter is a lawyer. She sent us a packet of it one day, and I said, well, you can read about your parents.
You are very successful in sports and education in Knoxville. Tom, how was it you ever got to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor?
Well, you know, quite frankly, it was one of the schools that my father always enjoyed the most. He enjoyed looking at those helmets run onto the field. And we were one of the first families, black families, to have a TV. And he had one at his shop. And so he had me going to Michigan. Other Big Ten schools recruited me first. And back then, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have the top 100. Schools would have an interest. And I think Minnesota was the first school to have an interest. It was a coach by the name of Mary Warmath. And then Indiana became the second interest. And then after that, one of the coaches had a brother-in-law that was a lawyer in Knoxville. And this lawyer had sent him all the articles. Didn't have all the film like it was today. And he sent all the articles on me. And they had seen my name. And, of course, that coach was Hank Fundy. He was the backfield coach. He was from Knoxville, believe it or not. What a small world. And he pursued, and of course, that's where my father wanted me to go. I thought I was going to go someplace else, but I ended up at Michigan, and I'm glad I did.
From 65 to 68, you played. You started at linebacker, then defensive tackle, then defensive end. What's the most lasting memories, the greatest experience playing for you, the U of M?
Well, you know, our... as a freshman, when I got there, they won it all. They won the Rose Bowl, and freshmen weren't eligible to play. And, of course, my experience was always playing in the big game, playing against Ohio State. Some were not memorable as they should be, and I guess the very last game that we played started the rivalry between Bo and Woody, because it was the game down in Ohio State where we both were ranked in the top 10, and Woody intentionally called timeout and went for two. That one you would always remember, and not because I was on the field all day long after Jack Tatum knocked out both of our quarterbacks. That meant the defense were on the field the whole second half. The game was tied at halftime, but they ended up beating us pretty well. And you have to remember that one. I ended up having 16 tackles in that game. I think it was about... been on the field so long, and they were running toward me, so I had to trip them up some kind of way.
We're talking to Tom Goss. When we come back, we'll ask him about this coach that U of M hired right after he quit playing, Bo Schembechler. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Tom Goss, chairman of Goss LLC. Tom, you quit playing your senior year, and they go and hire this coach out of Ohio, Bo Schembechler. Tell us about Bo Schembechler.
Bo was a different type person coming in following Bump. Bump, who never yelled or used a curse word. Bo came in with a lot of emotion, enthusiasm, and drive. You know, it was, in hindsight, Don Canham, to make that decision, when he made that decision, was quite interesting, because Bump had won a Rose Bowl. Bump had a winning season that last year. We only lost one Big Ten game, and that was to Ohio State. And we lost to Cal the very first game. When Bo came in, it was totally different. He was so intense that not only the players, but the coaches that were with them had to step back because I knew then it was going to be a different and new day. Bo asked me to coach with him during spring ball to see if I would enjoy coaching. And I did for a couple of weeks. I just wasn't used to the style. And he was an interesting guy. He yelled at anyone. I thought I was a coach. He came yelling at me. So we ended that relationship fairly quickly. As I walked off the field, I finally made up with him 2 years later and became one of his recruiters of kids. You could recruit differently back then, and Bo had such high integrity. He wanted to make sure he had people that he could count on that wouldn't do anything to break the rules to recruit.
Tom, how do you explain the love, the awe of him still today, 24 years after he quit coaching and 7 years after his passing?
You know, Bo's principles that he lived by and that he raised young men by, you learn to know that he had such strong core values. Bo had probably, his integrity was probably the best of anyone I've ever met in my life. He was honest. He was dependable. He had such strong core values that kids that he touched, adults that were around him, they all began to believe what he believed. And, you know, you knew one thing. You knew what the expectation was when you were with Bo. You knew what he wanted and how he wanted it done. And when you have a guy like that, you can't do anything but admire him.
Speaking of high standards and legendary, Woody on the other side of the field. Tell us about Woody Hayes.
Well, I really didn't know Woody other than he was an intimidator if you were on the other side of the field. We always used to look at this guy with the short sleeve white shirt, the black tie, and it would be cold like it is today in Detroit and snow on the field. And here's this guy out here in a short sleeve shirt and we're cold and we're saying to ourselves, what is this guy trying to do? Well, you know, that was his role. But one day I happened to meet one of his players, Jack Tatum. I was on the West Coast. I was, I think at the time, vice president of sales for Del Monte Corporation. And I went to a ball game at Stanford Stadium, and there was Jack, just happened to be sitting next to me. Had a O on his ring. I had an M on my ring. And after one quarter, we spoke, and we started talking. And we discovered we played against each other. And I couldn't believe the things he said about Woody was the same things our guys were saying about Bo. And he would take a bullet for Woody. He would be hit by a truck. He would do anything for Woody. And I said, you know, there's some of the same values, even though they're our biggest rivalry. Those athletes that played for him respected him, loved him the same way our guys loved and respected Bo.
You go to work for this company, Procter & Gamble.
Yes.
Most of us know the name, but we don't really know what it does. However, in the business community, if Procter & Gamble is on your resume, Tom Goss, that's gold. Why is that?
Well, they do a great job training, and it's almost like what you do when you're trying to build a football championship team or basketball championship team. You train, you develop the right core values, and they as a company had the right core values. And, you know, when I came out of college, out of the University of Michigan, I had 5 job offers. Procter was the lowest paying one, but they were also the one that committed to train me to be a young executive. And they did.
You were the first African-American manager in the history of Procter & Gamble.
That's correct.
So, you've been blessed to be around a lot of great people, one of which is Don Canham, you know, a visionary, former athletic director. Talk about Don Canham.
Well, Don was before his time. A lot of people know Don as a marketer, and he did a great job. He brought marketing to college athletics. He was so far ahead of the other athletic directors in the conference that the conference even allowed him to negotiate the TV contract. So he was different from that perspective. But Don was also different on inclusion. If you go back and look at some of Don's early teams on track that he coached, Don was bringing in African, they weren't all Americans, but he was recruiting from the islands. He had a lot of blacks on Michigan campus, more than any other sport, really. And he did that early on, and he always treated people as you would want to be treated, with respect. And so Don don't get enough credit for what he did in terms of integration back in the time when he was coaching. But other coaches looked to him because he was winning and he was doing it with both black and white athletes.
And he was athletic director from 68 to 88. We're talking to Tom Goss. When we come back, we'll ask him how it was he got the athletic director's job at the University of Michigan in 1997. And I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grasula, and with Tom Goss, who was the athletic director University of Michigan from 97 to 2000. In 1993, U of M asked you to take the job. You turned them down. Why was it in 97 President Lee Bollinger asked you to take the job?
Well, I'm not sure if the year was 93, but it was somewhere around there that President Duderstadt had a conversation with me, and the job was offered, and I just didn't really feel that I could afford to take the job. One of the things I recognized early was that to take the Michigan athletic director's job, you probably need to be in a position where you didn't need a job. I really needed a job then. I had girls going to college, and that was during a period of time I had just joined a company that I initially did an IPO with, and so I was busy with my business career, and I couldn't afford to leave that opportunity on the table and move my family anywhere. So when Bo Schembechler was the first to call, and Bo said, "Tom, you're going to be getting some calls, and you better not say no." You know, that's the way Bo was. So Don Canham followed with a call, probably within 24 hours, and said, "Tom, we've decided you're the person for this job." And I said, "Why is that?" And he gave the history. I had been appointed as the Big Ten advisory to the Big Ten from Michigan's. I was their representative, their alumni representative to the Big Ten Conference. So he knew I knew a lot of the rules. He knew I had recruited for Schembechler. He knew I knew those rules. And he knew the coaches would respect me because I played, understood the coaches. So this was Bo and Don's team up on it. And then there was a one regent called. His name was Larry Dyke. She's still a regent. And kind of encouraged me to do the same. And then Lee Bollinger flew to California, and he knew that these people had talked about it. I was in transition. We had done the IPO, and I was either going to have to move to Southern California to run the company down there, or find another company to buy, or do something different. So the timing, it was a perfect storm, and the timing was right. And so I said yes.
It's October of 97, and Lloyd Carr takes that squad, and they win the national championship. So no sooner you become athletic director, you go to Rose Bowl, win the national championship. What was that experience like?
It was a great experience. And, you know, head coaches need to have ADs that they can talk to, and I'm sure that's what David Brandon does with his head coaches. It was an experience that was unbelievable, because what Carr needed was to understand he was safe in the job and he needed support. And once we got that understanding, it was smooth sailing for Lloyd Carr, because he really didn't know why I was back there. I had had to change basketball coaches. He didn't know if I was going to come over and change the football coach. He didn't know the dynamics of that. But Lloyd and I built a great professional relationship. I would meet with him after a game and to listen more than anything else. And because he knew what he was doing, and over time, he proved himself.
Some of the athletes at Northwestern recently said, we're going to start a union. There's all this talk about, should we compensate student athletes? In 1999, Tom Goss, you proposed to the Big Ten that they pay athletes, and a portion of that pay should be based on the kid graduating.
Well, it was something similar to that. You know, it was athletes were not getting compensated. They were getting in trouble more often than not, because they didn't. A lot of these kids didn't have money to really even pay for food that they were getting. And so it was a point in time that we began discussing this, and there were different models. I still to this day believe there should be an incentive model for athletes on compensation. They've made some changes, but I've always thought that, especially even since being in that job, I've always thought that if you can incent an athlete to graduate, let them know there's an annuity there, some kind of way, there we would have an even higher graduation rate. Only less than 1% play pro ball. But everybody seemed to think that is the norm. That is not the norm. And these kids put in a lot of time. Today, I doubt if they can even hold summer jobs, because they're on campus practicing by themselves. They cannot have organized practices, but they practice by themselves.
Tom Goss, what are you proudest of as University of Michigan athletic director?
Well, you know, the number of championships that were won during the time that I was there in all the sports, either whether it was Big Ten or whether it was women's gymnastics or football, it always came back to, at the end of the day, we had kids graduating, we had kids with a very high grade point average. And so I really felt that development of these young people were probably some of the best things that we did. And we put in some unique programs. I'm glad to see the current AD putting in. We put in a STARS program. David Brandon currently today has a program that is a more like a mentoring program where he brings back execs to let them talk to the kids and look at career paths. We did something similar to that with the STARS program. And, you know, I gave some minorities opportunities in athletics that probably wouldn't have gotten it. The current AD at Connecticut, I hired him as an intern. And he went to Buffalo, now he's at Connecticut. The other AD that we push is now at Tulsa. He was at Eastern Michigan, but we got him a job down at Arkansas. So, you know, when you have young people that normally wouldn't have an opportunity and you feel that you could open the door or push them in the right direction, you got to feel good about that.
God has really blessed you.
Yes, he has.
In your sophomore year, you meet a lady named Carol. Number of years later, three daughters.
Right.
Tell us about Carol Goss.
Well, you know, Carol was very supportive of my career. I moved all over the country. To give you a feel, we have bought and sold 13 homes. That would say you moved a few times. And Carol probably would have hit her success in her career a lot earlier if she could have stayed in some of those communities. But she waited, and when I received the offer to come back to Michigan as athletic director, one of the foundations just called up and offered her a job before she ever got back here. So she never interviewed with anyone else. And this foundation happened to be the Skillman Foundation, where she was program manager and went all the way to the top and was CEO. She's very compassionate about kids, and today she's back at Harvard in Cambridge going through a program where they have CEOs in transition. And I wouldn't be surprised if she comes back with something circled and built around kids. She is what I call a superstar. Of course, I knew that. That's why I sold her on Tom Goss.
Some would say, Mr. Goss, that you outkicked your punt coverage when she married you. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Tom Goss. Since 2001, he's been the chairman of Goss LLC. Speaking of CEOs and chairmen, tell us about Goss LLC.
Goss LLC is a commercial insurance firm. You know, we insure risk. And actually, the firm was started by the parent. Once I came back looking at the athletic director's job, my brother was back here. He was in the insurance business. His name is Greg Goss. And I had the experience of building things and traveling around the country. I thought it was time to help family, and so I offered to help him. So we decided to do a 50-50 deal and created Goss LLC. And we focused on the automotive industry first, and we try to use some of the relationships that we built along the way. And, you know, even through this most difficult time that the auto industry spent, we still are around and doing a pretty good job. And we're doing a pretty good job because we built the company the same way you would build a football team, with integrity, with good core values, and solid people.
the same way you build any entity.
Right.
The need for education today is paramount.
Right.
Tom, how do we get more of our inner city kids to get great educations?
Well, you know, it really starts at home. We have been blessed, Carol and I, to be in a position to have three daughters that overachieved, and they really overachieved. We're proud of each of them with their backgrounds. But one of the things that we have always taught them, do not be afraid of change. Make sure you're spending your time wisely. Read something. You can read anything. Read something. And even if you don't like it, read about it anyhow. And our kids have really learned from that. I think a lot of kids are really want to learn. I think we as adults have to create the environment so that they can continue to learn. And part of that is getting our school systems in the appropriate way. But it all can't be done at school. I would suggest that mentors, I always encourage kids, find a mentor. And no matter how old you are, if you're especially a young person, ask someone about that career. See if you might like it. Just because some of the kids coming out of the inner cities have not been exposed to all the careers, I would encourage them in their churches, in their communities, whether it's the Boys and Girls Club, wherever they are, try to be exposed to more things every day that's going to broaden you. And don't be afraid of change.
Your whole working career, you've been around young people.
Yes.
What do our young people need and what do they want today?
What they need and what they want might be two different things. What they need is to establish and build some disciplines for themselves and to be in a position to learn how to set goals for themselves and to dream large. You know, don't limit yourselves. And a lot of young kids limit themselves because they don't think they can do what this person over here is doing. And I would encourage them to dream. And those that dream, normally, if you can't visualize it, dream about it. It never will happen. And so that's what they need to attempt to do. They want everything, and everything is really not available to anyone. But, you know, when you really become realistic about what your dreams are, what your needs are, and if you have someone coaching you, have someone mentoring you that's talking to you along the way, you might happen to create that path that will enable them to have success.
Talk to us about the future of Detroit.
I think it's bright. You know, as they say, we hit bottom a few years ago. I think the future is bright because everyone, for one of the first times, want the same thing. Everyone, if you live in the city, and I live in the city of Detroit, you want great service. You want the people that are in charge to be successful. I think we have a new council. One of the best things we did is go to districts, I believe. Now you can hold people accountable. Without accountability, you don't move things forward very well. I think we have a mayor that knows how to get things done. Time will tell, however, because he'll find out that this running the city is going to be a little bit different than anything he's been exposed to. Almost like when I came back to run the athletic department out of business. A little bit different. There's politics, but he will deal with the politics piece.
You're the vice chairman of the Barbara Ann Karmanos Cancer Institute. Tell us about the Cancer Institute.
Well, you know, the hospital over there is a great place. It impacts so many lives. And, you know, when you have a disease like cancer, it impacts someone in everyone's family. It impacted my family. And one of the reasons we're so committed to fighting this cancer and giving our time, service, and money to anything that has to do with cancer is my wife had it, my parents died with it. And, you know, at some point in time, I think research between the things that Karmanos is doing and others are doing in this whole area got to have a positive impact down the road.
Tom Goss, as our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
I would first say to our young listeners, you know, once again, don't be afraid of change. Seek out mentors that really are willing to be a mentor to you, and dream. And once you dream, set some goals around those dreams. It don't have to be many goals, and they can be small steps. But once you dream and visualize what you want, set goals to get there.
Tom Goss, when you came and left Knoxville, Tennessee as a young man and came up here to Ann Arbor and became a Wolverine and a Michigander, we're the better for it. So thanks for all you do. Thanks for all that Carol does. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.